What's up, guys? Welcome back to Kinda Funny's Batman in Review. That's right. We are ranking and reviewing every theatrically released Batman movie, including Catwoman. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by Andy Cortez.
Yeah, I wasn't looking at myself in frame at the beginning. So now let me just you know, kind of
make scooch myself over a little bit, man. Take your time. It's all good.
We got nowhere to be. We got nothing to do.
There you go.
We got the Commissioner Greg Miller.
Get me Batman. I don't know.
What's up? We have Kevin Coelho.
It's funny you didn't do a Gordon. Oh, okay.
Hard pass.
You can't pause that long, Kevin. Yeah. I introduced Kevin, you.
There's a delay, guys. There's a delay. Something.
Right, no one else has it. It's weird. It's really weird. Anyways, this is Batman in Review. You can watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, or you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com. You can get the show ad-free by going to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like our Patreon producers, James Davis, @JamesDavisMakes, Andrew Feisner, Jeremy, the Zook, Zuccarello, and the Simply Sassy crew. Thank you all for your support. Speaking of support, this episode is brought to you by HBO Max, Honey, and Manscaped, but we'll talk about that later. Real quick, some housekeeping for you. Andy, you want to pip out something? Maybe something you're doing on Twitch tomorrow?
Tomorrow, me and Nick playing that Black Ops Cold War at 11 a.m. after Games Daily. Oh. Right here. Same right here in this place, right here.
Right here in this place.
How many W's are you going to get?
All of them.
Wow, everyone.
All the W's.
It's not a battle royale, so hopefully people
are... Oh, so there's no winner. Incredible. So there's no winners.
It's team.
People, no one wins.
Greg, I know you don't know what it's like to win as a team because you're always a fucking lone soldier,
lone wolf. He lone wolves it.
Growing a mustache.
I'm a lone soldier. Cool.
Today, we are talking about the Lego Batman movie, released February 10th, 2017, directed by Chris McKay. He's best known for directing and editing 3 seasons of Robot Chicken, which makes a lot of sense for this, and 2 seasons of Moral Oral. Kev, you're a big Moral Oral fan, aren't you?
No, I'm not. No, I think your brother
really?
Is. Yeah.
For some reason, I thought you loved it.
I've never seen Moral Oral.
That little religious kid. Yeah, I've seen, like, Moral Oral is one of the many Adult Swim cartoons that you've seen one episode of and realized this isn't for me. And that was me pretty early on. I was like, nah, I get what they're going for. I'm good. I'm good.
We know what this is.
That sounds nasty. Oh, wait, you know what?
Kevin just likes Oral.
No, you know what? You're right. I do like this. The anime, the...
Is it Claymation?
Yeah, Claymation show.
Oh, I hate Claymation. It's terrifying.
Oh, I love Claymation. The devil's work. I find it very, very cool.
He worked as an animation co-director on the Lego movie in 2014 with Phil Lord and Christopher Miller. He made his feature film directorial debut with this, the Lego Batman movie. And he is attached to direct a live-action Nightwing film.
Ooh.
See if that ever happens.
Yeah, it doesn't look great.
A budget of $80 million, box office of $312 million, runtime of 1 hour and 45 minutes. In terms of awards, not looking too good. Many people thought this would be nominated for the Academy Award for Best Animated Feature, but just like the original Lego movie, it ended up being snubbed. That made people mad enough, but they were even madder when the film The Boss Baby was nominated despite its heavily mixed to negative reception, falling short of this film's highly positive reception.
Classic.
No,
The Boss Baby.
I'm getting that echo again.
Echo, by the way, yeah.
It sounds like
in a stadium.
I was going to say, Tim's like, today, I feel like I'm the luckiest man in the world.
Anyway, boys, Lego Batman. I want to start with Greg Miller. You didn't like this movie the first time you saw it in theaters.
Correct. I remember being next to Kevin and he fell asleep during it. I still don't like this movie. I don't want to do a character thing. I don't want everybody coming after me. I don't want to get everybody on this show turned against me. Like, I'm glad you enjoy it if you do want, just in general, right? And I guess I've made that bet, right, Andy? What are you going to do when I knock at the door? You fucking
piece of shit.
Get him.
The wolf is at your door.
I do not jive with this film at all from the get-go and from all the way through it. And it's not, and it's like, I've been trying, obviously, knowing we would get to this point in the show and you would ask me what I thought of it at some point. Like, I've been thinking about like how to do it. And the best I can come up with is I just don't think it's not Lego enough and it's not Batman enough. I feel like the movie makes a lot of jokes at times, right? About like it's just people cosplaying or whatever, right? Like, that's what I feel like this is. I don't feel like this is a Batman movie. I feel like this is a whole bunch of celebrities, and it feels exactly what it probably is, right? A bunch of celebrities got together who are all friends, and a bunch of their friends, and wanted to make this Lego Batman movie. And I think at some point they were like, we don't have to go all the way in on it being Batman. Like, we don't have to get nerdy about it. It can just be that it is all the Batman, because obviously it's the Batman characters and it's Gotham City and, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, like, I play it and I'm just, or watch it, I should say. And I just feel like it's heartless. Like, I just don't ever connect with it. It never gets into it. I think the ending's cool. Like, I like the ending of them all together and, you know, coming together. But again, it's like, that's an hour and 45 minutes of me being like, all right, cool. Like, I just feel like it's never pushed to the limits it could go to. I don't think that. I don't think it's funny enough with the Batman Joker relationship. I don't think it's funny enough with the Alfred Bruce relationship. I don't think it's funny enough with the Robin Batman situation.
Nick,
that's interesting, because, like, okay, so I did not like the Lego movie, and I think that it wasn't because of the story. I just was really off put by the frenetic pace and the style of it, and I just was like, I don't. This is not for me. I understand why people would like it, but it wasn't for me. So going into Lego Batman, it was very trepidatious the first time I watched it. And I feel like I watched it on a plane sitting next to Andy. I can't remember. Maybe that's not the same one. But, like, I just laughed my ass off through this whole movie. And I think the reasons why I liked it was all the reasons, Greg, you might not have liked it, because it was lighthearted fare, because it did poke fun at the series. But I'll disagree with you on one point, which I do feel like it has a lot of heart. I think at the heart of this story is that there is an inner need of this character to have a family again. And I think they did that very, very well. And they took that part at least quasi seriously, so that at the end, when he does put the team all together, I found it pretty, pretty validating. And I'm just a sucker for Michael Cera. I'm just a sucker for him.
Michael Cera's great.
Nick, yeah. Give me it. When I give me your favorite part.
He's like, can you be quiet? When I desire to be.
Kevin.
It's so funny.
Kev, what do you think?
Yeah, I fell asleep the first time I watched it. This time I stayed awake the entire time, but it just, not for me. It's just, honestly, my problem with it is it feels very much like a kid's movie, and, like, too much like a kid's movie, where they're going for all the dumb jokes, and it's just like, all right, I wish they had tried a little harder. There were some moments that they got me, but those were far, like, and few and far between. Yeah, that's it.
Everyone thinks Batman's an asshole in this. Like, the Justice League parts. First off, shout out to Channing Tatum playing Superman in this. Come on, guys. Come on, Greg. I didn't like that at all.
That bothered me quite a bit.
I'm blown away that anybody cannot like this movie. I think it's inoffensive. So I think the humor works so much. Until you mentioned the part that Chris McKay worked on Robot Chicken, while watching it, I just kept thinking, man, this is a much better Robot Chicken. Like, the Robot Chicken jokes never hit for me. What? But so many of these jokes.
But the pacing of it too, right, Andy? Like, the pacing of it is Robot Chicken. Where it's bam, bam, bam.
I just think the humor here is just a lot more clever. And I think a lot of it has to do with the actors chosen. And I love all the breaking the fourth wall stuff. I love the quiet moments where you are, you know, you're meant to sit there with the awkward sort of loneliness of Batman in his house, microwaving lobster, and then typing in the 20 minutes, stupid. Like, all those little moments like that, I love this movie. I think it's so clever and funny, and the actors chosen are fine. The only problem I have is I'm not 100% in on Michael Cera. I think he's great, like, 60% of the time, but I feel like he's the only issue I have with this movie.
He's so Michael Cera the entire time.
He's great.
See, I'm with you, Andy, that I do think when it is, you know, we go through the entire opening, right, and all this crazy stuff, and then Batman comes home to be alone. I do love all that. I do love how they play with that and let that breathe. I feel like where the movie falters for me is similar to what Kevin was talking about, where I feel like it is, and this is obviously no fault of, fuck me if this is what they designed for, but I'm here talking about it, right, and why I don't like it, is I do think it's aimed at kids, which comes down to this weird repetition of jokes and things that I don't find interesting, like Batman being this, like, nope, 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 and throwing tantrums and rolling around the stairs and stuff. I roll my eyes at it. Like, I don't like that. And, like, you know, you're saying, or Nick, you said earlier, you know, like, maybe I didn't like it because it pokes fun at the source material or something. I wish they did more of that. I wish this was lampooning Batman, because when they go through and Alfred in the beginning's like, oh, I've seen you have a mood like this before in 2016, and they roll through every theatrical Batman and have a thing in there. It's like, that I like a lot. I wish they were leaning into that, but I feel like they dialed it back to be more, what is Batman? What is something that even every kid would know about Batman? Let's just use that and do stuff with it without ever really getting into it. And I think the Joker even complicates it more, where it'd be funnier if it was about him being super lonely. And I mean, obviously the Joker's gonna be the bad guy that motivates the whole thing, but give me more with him and Michael Cera and Alfred. And if not more, give me what you already have, but truncate it down. The fact that this is an hour and 45, like when it was going, I was like, oh shit, maybe I read this wrong and I'm enjoying it more. And I paused and it was like 30 minutes left in the movie. Like, oh, fucking, all right, let's go.
Man, I love this movie. And I think that from the get-go, it is fast-paced and it keeps that pace up and I'm entertained the entire way. Like, this movie is just pure style and it backs up that style with as much substance as it needs. I don't think this is a 10. I don't think that this kind of has like all the heart and all the stuff. It's like, but it doesn't need to, because it shoots for the moon and I think it gets there more often than not. It is shotgun approach of jokes, and I think that more jokes land than don't by a large margin. And I think even the ones that I don't think are funny, it's like I'm sure someone else out there does think they're funny. I don't think that any of them truly are like, oh fuck, this sucks. Like, I never cringed during this entire movie. Oof. And on top of that, I think the action scenes are fantastic. The style of the Lego movies is just so cool and unique and amazing. And I think that the Batman elements to it, like, they really committed in a way that the opening scene is thrilling and so engaging. And the Lego-ness of it, like Greg was saying, that you don't think it commits enough to Batman or Lego, I think committed to both perfectly, where it wasn't too far in either direction. It was enough to allow the two to work so that this is a Lego Batman movie, not needing to be one of the other two, because what was it called? The Scuttler was dope as fuck.
Yeah, like, kind of cool.
That thing was cool. And the way that it moved and the way that it looked was awesome. And it felt authentic to this Batman character. And I love how meta this movie is. And I love that we just spent the last 8 weeks watching these Batman movies. And like, it kind of feels like a reward for all that stuff. I agree with you, Greg. It doesn't go too deep with any of it, but I also don't think it needs to. Like, I think that it's kind of just, it's about references. It literally just is about like, oh yeah, I know that, and I know that, and I know that. But it's more than just Batman. It's also celebrities. It's also the history of all this stuff. It's also Legos in general. And I love that this movie ends with them going to the Phantom Zone and getting out all the bad guys from other franchises.
I love
like,
it. I was it just
this
that.
Movie just escalates in a way that like surprised me as it went on, and I love that so much.
I'm a sucker for any time they're available to go deep into the Warner Brothers catalog or a studio can do that. And the fact that they got like Voldemort and Sauron and all of these classic, all these characters, I thought it was fun. And again, see, Greg, I understand your criticism with it. It is lighthearted fare. This to me is a nice welcome just break and silliness. And it's a fun, for me, it's a fun, quick hour 45. Do I think it's anywhere near as good as Batman Begins or The Dark Knight? We'll have to decide at the end of this show. But
well, it's funny you say like they go deep enough in on Warner Brothers stuff, right? Because I didn't like that, and I thought they didn't go deep. Because when these people pop up, I'm like, oh, this is just literally the Lego Dimensions cast. Like, I played through this in Lego Dimensions, even with the Doctor Who exterminates, even though the Joker line of ask your nerd friends is great when they
it's
pop
great.
Up.
But British see, that's robot. The thing, though, is I think that joke is like, that's the level that we're at with this. And like, I think the movie commits to it because, you know, a lot of people didn't play Lego Dimensions. I don't know if you know.
No, I know that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I don't think the bench is deep is what I'm driving at.
Well, the bench might not be too deep in general in Warner Brothers, because I don't know how much of the comic book fair style stuff they've done before. But I mean, you know, I think they made some, I think it struck a nice balance for me of, we're making a kid's film. It is a kid's film, but there was enough for adults, or there was enough references that I got that I was like, oh, I should get this. I am a 40-year-old. I do remember watching the 66 Batman and seeing the shark repellent thing being a joke. And like, I don't know that kids would get the shark repellent joke, but they put that in there for us, for people who are like, yeah, what a useless thing. Oh no, it's not useless. That it had kind of a fun payoff at the end. So yeah, I mean, I never looked at this movie as sort of being anything other than, okay, this would be entertaining for to a certain level. But to me, it does cross that threshold from going from a kid's movie to being like, oh, this is actually, they're trying to tell a story with a little bit of heart here. You do have a character arc with Batman where he does kind of start off as an egotistical asshole, and then by the end of it, learn something. And I think that's cool. And I don't think you see that a ton of times in even some of the more recent DC movies. So kudos to them for doing that.
You guys are talking about the kids movie stuff. It's funny that you're saying it as a negative, because watching this, I was like, I literally said to Gio, I'm like, if I was a little kid when this movie came out, this would be my favorite movie of all time. Like, it's absolutely so fucking cool. I mean, and fun.
The fact
and
that
like,
he's in the 89 Batman costume the entire time makes me just automatically want to put this at number one.
Yeah, it's just like the idea of there's nothing cooler than Legos, period. I think that this movie kind of fulfills that promise of just like so much shenanigans, so much happening, and especially when we get all the cameos of everyone else at the end. It's like throughout the movie. It's really cool.
I mean, I feel like we keep on hitting this kid angle. I think this movie is, I don't know, the humor of it reminds me a lot of like a Will Ferrell movie, like that type of humor. Of just like the silly non sequitur stuff. I don't know. Watching this movie, I didn't think, oh, this is good for a movie that's mostly for kids. Like I think the humor still worked a lot for me. I agree, Tim. I didn't really there may have been one or two moments that I was like, that joke just didn't age well because it's hitting on some sort of pop culture thing at that time, at that place in time or whatever. But
a lot of Michael Jackson references in this.
this is
very weird.
Like, I mean, just sitting there watching Jerry Maguire, like all that stupid shit. I think the humor is a lot less for kids than I was led on to believe. I think it is a very, very humor, very fair. Adult type humor.
It's so interesting. Cause like, I was trying to like, I was like, this is the only thing I'm going to watch right now. I'm going to just chill. It was after we played Fortnite. And then I got to the point where I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to turn on Assassin's Creed and not like listen to music, but like, you know, not have headphones on and just have it muted and run around and do a couple little things. Cause like so much of their jokes are just making me go like, oh, that's the joke they went with, huh? You know, I constantly had that feeling.
Yeah, I think it's just a tone issue where, you know, like I think and I may be getting you wrong, Tim, but I think you said, you know, none of the jokes were cringe worthy or whatever. Like for me, it's the opposite. Like the opening of the movie is nails on a chalkboard of Batman narrating like black screen. I don't know what Rat Pack does. Yeah. I'm like, OK, like this is a movie I am already not here to enjoy.
Bad take.
I get it. No, I get it. I mean, listen, like this is definitely, I mean, again, I have a lot of these criticisms. If we were doing the Lego movie, I'm sure I'd get torn apart from my views on that. I just did not like the style of that. And for you, for me, and this one, you have to vibe with the style. For me, Will Arnett. And that black screen, that one moment, that first second you hear his voice, like, black screen, oh, great movie, start with black. I was like, all right, I'm in. This one got me. That got a chuckle out of me, and it put me in the right mindset to enjoy the sort of like surface level silliness of the jokes. And Greg, you brought up that part where he's throwing a temper tantrum and the animation where he's just flip.
Great
flip,
animation. Flip, flip, I mean, the flip, movie's flip, gorgeous. You can't.
That gets me every single time. And Andy, I thought about you because we talked about ray tracing a lot in our last stream. And I was like, wow, they got all this. Look at all the ray tracing that's happening.
Yeah, a lot of great shading, a lot of great.
They had a lot of RTX 3080s hooked up to make this all work.
And I will say, I thought of you a lot during this movie too, Nick, because I thought, man, Nick is loving every single part of this.
So much of the humor,
I could picture Nick like, sitting in an airplane and just cracking up just at the laughing. Like it's dumb humor. A lot of it is very dumb humor, but it still works. Again, to Tim's point, way more than it does in For Me. And I think like I just enjoyed myself a lot watching it again.
And Greg, what you're talking about, like with the intro stuff, it's like I see where you're coming from. Like I wouldn't say it's cringy, but I see where it's like it's kind of low hanging fruit. But I think that this movie does low hanging fruit very well the entire time. And it has moments of like Team America World Police. It has moments of like Robot Chicken and all the things that I very much enjoy. And I don't think this movie does anything better than any of those best moments. But I think that it never, again, like I said, it never feels cringy. It's kind of like, okay, this is what this movie is. And if you kind of like enjoy it for that, it's really good. But it's like, if you're like, oh, this is the funniest movie ever. No, it's not. But I think that it is a very consistently funny movie, which for a comedy movie is really all you can ask for.
Greg, you're going to tell me when they pulled the costumes out and he was like, that's for reggae, man. You didn't laugh at that?
No, Nick, I didn't laugh at that.
Let's get to the plot.
Plot time.
I'm just going to let him go. Okay, yeah. All right, so this is a Lego Batman movie, ladies and gentlemen. As you, we already said, you open with Will Arnett's Batman narrating all the screens that pop up. From there, it's a rainy night in Gotham City, and there's this big old plane being flown by two best friends coming in, and it has all sorts of bombs and horrible things on it. And so they radio
MacGuffin Airlines.
Yeah, you like that? Yeah, yeah.
Like that's great. I love that.
Great.
They radio the tower to see if it's okay for them to fly by, and the tower looks around and talks to everybody in the thing. Like, yeah, we don't see why not, go for it. At the same time, a Joker goon helicopter lands on top of the airplane, and they bust in to get all the bombs and stuff. And so they start going in there and taking people out, yada yada yada. And then to the cockpit comes the Joker, and he's like, I'm here to take down the plane, and I'm gonna, you know, blow up Gotham City. And the pilot's like, but are you really? And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, Batman stops you. Batman's gonna stop you. He always stops you. And he starts making references to, you know, stuff like the Prince Parade and stuff. And you're like, we know that reference because we've been doing an interview. However, then, you know, Joker boots him or whatever, takes over the thing. He's gonna blow up the thing. The city starts panicking. They reveal their plan is gonna go to the power plant, the hydrogen plant or whatever, and they're gonna put all the explosives on the side of that. They're gonna blow it sky high. All the villains are there, they're all doing shit. We got Two-Face, we got Clayface, we got through a whole list of people, and they get down to Condiment King, and he's like, you're making some of these up. And he's like, no, these are all real. Probably it's worth great. A Google.
Man, I love that Google. Shit, man. It's so like I love how deep they go with all the bad guys and make fun of it. It's funny.
That's the first time I learned there was a polka dot man, actually.
Yeah, there you go. Of course, they're all freaking out because they want to know where Batman is. Batman isn't there. Commissioner Gordon's, he's flipping out. He's got his little signal button. It doesn't work though, right? And they're like, all right, cool, we're going to do this. And he wants to see the mayor. Like, the mayor needs to go be a part of this. That's the thing. So the mayor goes over there, and there's still a Batman. Everybody's panicking, and the mayor goes in there, and the mayor takes off.
Who's the mayor? Who's the mayor voiced by?
Batman.
Well, it is Batman, but it's also Mariah Carey.
Gotcha.
It's true.
Really?
Yeah.
This is. But, like, I mean, outside of like Will Arnett and Michael Cera and Rosario Dawson, I guess this is, I think, the key one of those like total. Wait, who is that? Like, I know I should know that person, but I don't know that person. Like, I had to look at IMDb. Oh, Channing Tatum. Okay.
All of the people are awesome. There's just like the voice cast of this is ridiculous.
Just all the friends that you could tell the Kimmy Schmidt and Miller like putting film. In their. I know Lord and Miller didn't like. Fully direct this or write this or whatever, but it just feels like it's all their friends.
Yeah.
No, definitely.
Billy D. Williams is Two-Face.
Love it. That's great. Right. So from there, though, the mayor reveals herself to be Batman. Batman starts kicking the shit out of everybody, as one does. The thing's going to blow up, but he's got to, you know, deactivate it. But he's fighting everybody. He's running around doing stuff, and he's blowing things up, and things are going on. And then Joker tries to leave, and this is when Batman gets caught between him and the thing, and he's got the two grappling hooks. And this is where Joker lays out his plot line for the movie of being like, oh, you know, blah, 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 and your greatest enemy. And Batman is like, wait, what did you say? And he's like, oh, you know, think about the bomb? He's like, no, the thing before that, you know, this, that, and I'm your greatest enemy. He's like, you're not my greatest enemy. Who's your greatest enemy, right? And he's like, Superman. He keeps going back to Superman. but eventually he lays it out that he's fighting multiple people. He's not in an exclusive relationship fighting anybody. This breaks Joker's heart, of course. He gets the really sad, teary eyes, which is cute, of course, all the time.
Yeah, you don't matter. Nothing matters to me. I don't care about you. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Just keeps on like digging the knife deeper.
Like working with Greg Miller.
Exactly. I could replace any one of you. You know what I mean? Like that. You tell me
so fast.
Second. So fast, right? Yeah, except probably Kevin. Somebody would need to learn a lot of stuff to make Kevin's shit work.
That'd be a pain.
I've only taught Barrett half the stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. That's how you keep a job. I appreciate it. Batman lets go of the Joker. He falls back down. Everybody's panicking outside of Gotham, or in Gotham, I should say, because they already had it on the news that if this was to blow, it would break Gotham in two parts and everybody would tumble into the endless abyss below them, right? Because they're playing with the idea, of course, that they are Legos being built on a playset. Very similar to Lego the Movie, right? Where it was Will Ferrell's kid or whatever building the whole world. But we never get a real life thing here. Spoilers. So it should go off. It doesn't go off. What happened? It was Batman. Yay, Batman. Batman comes out and everybody's like, fucking Batman rules. And they've got Batmania signs and like, Batman's the best. Yeah, I love Batman. And Batman's like, I am the best.
The merch guns, the orphanage.
That's the orphanage. So Batman gets ready to leave, and he's like, "Let's swing by the orphanage, say hey to all these kids, give them something." Outside is a young Dick Grayson, watching all this. They're waiting for Batman. Batman shoots over. The kids rush out. Everybody gets merch gunned except Dick Grayson. The news report happens again of you know, wow, Batman saved the day once again. I'm sure he's going home to celebrate with his family or whatever. And instead, we get him going into the cave, this giant cave all by himself. Password for it, Iron Man sucks, which is a pretty great, that is a pretty great joke right there. But it's a complicated system for him to walk in there. He starts talking to Pewter, who is just Siri, of course, on an iPhone. Alfred's upstairs doing some cleaning. He left the lobster Thermidor in the fridge for you.
Oh, my favorite.
And then we get the scene like Andy was talking about of, you know, him putting, well, first off, we get him putting on the smoking jacket robe, right? And then, yeah, going up there, getting the lobster Thermidor, eating it all by himself in the water, surrounded by his bat boats, going, watching Jerry Maguire all by himself in his giant theater, and just being a sad, sad boy because he's a sad Batman. But we don't, you know, he doesn't even really know he's sad Batman to that point.
It's all the little stupid things. Again, the microwave thing is just like a dumb that I would have added if I were kind of making this. Yeah, like have him struggle with the microwave and then going through and hitting the wrong video source. Like, oh, that's the wrong one.
Yeah, that's like, good. A lot of PlayStation noises there too.
Yeah, which is weird.
I love that shit. Oh, yeah.
Hey, for the kids. Yeah, for the kids, you know?
The wrong thing. You're right.
At some point, he goes back to, you know, the middle of Wayne Manor to look at his family portraits or whatever, and he's looking at the selfie he took with his mom and dad outside the Monarch right before they got murdered.
This movie's fucking funny, man.
And so while he's doing that, Alfred comes up behind him. He knocks on Alfred. Alfred gets back up, and he's like, oh, this is the joke I was talking about. We've seen this before. And he runs through the, you know, laundry list of the movies that he's been in and things there. And, you know, that, you know, basically you need to open yourself up to loving again kind of thing. And, you know, you open yourself up to having a family and all that jazz. Yeah, Nick.
Now, Alfred, of course, played by Ralph Fiennes in this, who also played Voldemort. And for some reason, they didn't get him to voice Voldemort in this movie.
Yeah.
More money.
I wonder if there's like a contractual thing.
I don't know. I always thought that.
But it's both WBs, right?
Yeah.
I feel like that would have helped.
I would have thought they would have allowed him to go and do that. Maybe they just thought it'd be even funnier to have him not do that. But I swear, the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, it's so cool they got him to do both voices. And then I looked it up and no, it was Eddie Izzard.
Which
is funny. Yeah.
You're a funny guy.
So they have this conversation and finally he's like, you know, I'm going to bed. He's like, no, you're not. And he opens the thing and it's light outside. And he's like, you got to go to this Commissioner Gordon's retirement party. And he's like, I don't want to. But he eventually goes. And so he gets into the car and he's in his Bruce Wayne suit, but still in his Batman helmet. And eventually he Alfred convinces him to take off the Batman helmet. And then he shows up there and he's being Bruce Wayne about it. And he's like, all right, paparazzi, you get three poses. And he does three different poses. And then he goes on inside and starts mingling and mixing around, you know what I mean? Dick Grayson's there because the orphans are doing the choir business.
And it's hilarious. The fucking choir got me, man. It's just so funny. These orphans are funny.
For the record, orphans usually are.
You get the line of, hey, I'm Richard Grayson, but the kids at school call me Dick. Well, kids can be cruel.
That's, of course, after, Dick Grayson sees Bruce Wayne. He runs over and introduces himself. They start talking. That's what's happening. Dick is laying out the plan to be adopted here by Bruce Wayne. Bruce starts off listening, but then gets distracted by the one and only Barbara Gordon showing up. He falls in love with her. He says yes to everything Dick says, which one of the questions being, would you adopt me kind of thing. I'm sure meanwhile this is happening, by the way, we've already cut away to the Joker and his goons, where Joker's talking to Harley and expressing the fact that he isn't Batman's greatest villain. So she's like, you know, what you should do is, you know, go away for a while, prove that he needs you. He's like, oh, that's really interesting. But however, back there though, Commissioner Gordon gets up to, you know, maybe say goodbye to being Commissioner Gordon, and then they introduce the new commissioner. The new commissioner is Barbara Gordon. She gets a cool montage video of her learning at, what is it, FBI Harvard or Harvard?
The Harvard of Police School.
Harvard of Police.
So funny.
So it's a montage of her doing shit, and then she comes out and she announces she's gonna be the commissioner, and then she lays out her plan of like Batman Gordon. Isn't that great?
I was just gonna say, when the Joker scene was, that's when he's watching Superman on screen about the Phantom Zone stuff, right?
Right. Yeah,
Superman's so that's like, when Zod, we go way back, man.
We've had some epic villain or battles.
I wouldn't be Superman without Zod.
He gets it. Yeah, great point. Then Barbara gets up and lays out her plan that, you know, Batman's actually not that great. Like, Batman's been doing this for how many decades? And, you know, Bruce Wayne, of course, hooting and hollering for Batman in the crowd. We still have crime. We still have a lot of crime, actually. So she's doing this new plan, not to get rid of Batman, but to integrate Batman into being a police officer with them kind of thing.
A little fact here with the Batman stuff that's pretty cool is this is when Barbara was like, oh, yeah, he's been doing a long time, whatever. And they do another kind of quick montage of all the old moments. So in order of appearance here, we got the Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, Dark Knight, Batman the Animated Series, Batman the Dark Knight Returns Part 2, the animated version of it. There's a reference to that. Super Friends from 1973, Batman the Movie from 1966, Batman number 9, Detective Comics number 27, and then the Batman serials. The last two are notable for being the first comic of Batman and the first adaptation of the character into other media.
So her plan is to integrate Batman into being part of the GCPD. And Bruce Wayne's like, what? And he does the spit take joke twice there. One off camera, which I appreciated. And while they're laying all this out, Joker and the goons show up. Everybody's panicking or whatever. Batman or Bruce Wayne runs away. He jumps off the side. He puts on his cowl. He becomes Batman. And he argues with Alfred here. He jumps onto a thing and does the master build thing. And that was the one I was like, oh, so this is like in the same universe as Lego universe. And this is watching it originally, obviously, or Lego movie. He does a master build to make this is when he makes the Scuttler, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So cool.
He jumps back to the roof with that. Barbara is like, hold on, and like she freeze. But then he jumps in, he's like, freeze, and he cuts in front of Barbara, and she's like, oh, and they start bickering a little bit because obviously she wants them to work together. Batman's whole shtick is that he's gonna work alone or whatever. And before he can really get going, Joker's like, I'm here, to take me in, kind of thing, and lifts up his thing. Can you say that again? He says it exactly again and brings up his hands handcuffed. That was cute. He's like, yeah, I'm here to surrender. We all are. And everybody's like, are we? Is that what we're doing? And he puts them into a box behind them with a big bow on it for the GCPD. And so everybody starts celebrating because crime is solved now. There's no more crime in Gotham City.
Wait, is this the point where he punches Bane in the face for no reason? And Bane's like, that was unnecessary.
And so now everybody celebrates the fact that crime's over, and we get that amazing rendition of One is the Loneliest Number as Batman wanders around in black and white. He's in color as Gotham City is safe and he's not needed, and everybody's super sad about it.
Yeah, they're like, we don't need you anymore. Oh, I know, there's still a lot of crime.
Yeah.
trying to fucking battle with that whole idea. It's so good.
And so from there, it ends. The whole montage ends with him outside of Arkham, where he's trying to spy on the Joker and everybody else. They're just doing yoga inside, though. And then Barbara spots him from down there while they're doing the Phantom Zone, or I think it's, I forget what it actually says, Phantom, but it's Phantom Zone. What is it?
Phantom's Own.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And it's Harley getting all the stuff loaded up over there, all the laundry and shit. And she's like, what are you doing? He's like, nothing. And like they have a conversation again. He won't work with her, though, even though he says he will, kind of thing.
Who was Harley?
Jenny? No, not Jenny Slate.
Jenny Slate.
Was Jenny Slate, yeah.
Yeah, the IMDb in front of me.
Who's the voice of Harley in the HBO Max show?
Katie Cuckoo or Coco or whatever. The girl from Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
Well, you could watch Harley Quinn on HBO Max in true 2020 fashion. The holidays are going to look a little different this year. That's why we partnered with HBO Max to keep the spirit of togetherness alive with their library of feel-good films for the holiday season. And we like to support all the different holidays here, just like Halloween. It was spooky. So to celebrate that, we watched the Conjuring movies and we watched Annabelle Comes Home, which you can watch over on HBO Max. But if you want to get out of that season, get into the holiday Christmas season, HBO Max has many classic holiday film streaming like Holiday Affair and A Christmas Carol. A whole bunch of other cool stuff you can check out. Go to the link below, which is hbom.ax/kindoffunnymorningshow to get cozy at home this holiday season with a whole bunch of cool stuff to watch. Check it out at hbomax.com right now. Next up, shout out to Honey. These days, it feels like online shopping is the only shopping that we're doing. That's why this sponsor, Honey, comes in. It's the free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and automatically tests them when you're checking out. It's fantastic stuff. It works on every website from a Best Buy all the way to an Etsy. I've been saving a ton of money over the years. Kind of funny, saved a ton of money over the years. If you're not using this, it's silly. Don't do that. It's so easy to install, and then you're just saving money. Here's how it works. You get Honey on your computer for free, two easy clicks. Then when you're checking out on one of its over 30,000 supported sites, Honey pops up, and all you have to do is click apply coupons, and then you're just saving the money. It does all the work for you. Honey has found its over 17 million members, over $2 billion in savings. Wow. It's this simple. If you have a computer, Honey should be on it. It's free and works with whatever browser you use. You can get Honey for free today at joinhoney.com/morning. That's joinhoney.com/morning so they know that we sent you and that you are supporting this show. joinhoney.com/morning. And finally, shout out to Manscaped. Here's the deal. A lot of us out there, we have balls. Those balls grow hair. That hair can cause smells. We got to get rid of that. We got to get rid of all of this stuff. It's bad business for everybody. Jingle balls to the walls, fellas. Listen up. Untrimmed pubes are a thing of the past, or at least they should be. It's time to gear up and get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. We're talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Nick, how many times have you been there and you nicked your balls?
It's me. I'm really old and arthritic. Yeah, it happens to me all the time. I'm a stupid moron.
It looks like he just got back from the
lots
gym.
Lots of times, guys. Lots of times.
You should stop nicking your balls. You don't need to do that. That's what the Lawnmower 3.0 is here for. It has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology, so the trimmer cuts to make sure that you don't get anything cut that's not supposed to be. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. And don't use the same trimmer on your face as you use on your balls. That's just nasty. Get the Lawnmower 3.0. Get the Perfect Package 3.0 to make sure that you are looking good down there. Just in case something happens. You never know. You never know. Get 20% off and free shipping with manscaped.com/morning. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com/morning. Clean up your nuts and make Santa proud this year. I just want to let everyone know that during that ad read, my Adobe PDF thing crashed. So I was I was freewheeling.
I mean that warrants a little bit of a higher score.
I'm gonna be honest. Thank you. That's weird. I gave him 9.2 last time.
Really? I gave you an 8. Yeah. That was a really sneaky.
That was great.
I thought that was good. Tim, 9.8.
That's an 8.
Honestly,
I don't know what a 10 could be. So that's the thing. I appreciate you, Kev.
The only thing that could have made it more is if your tone had been a little bit sexier. But we'll leave that for next week.
The thing is, Kevin, dead on. You have to evoke emotion in me. And that one got me. I was like, I was a little surprised. Fear and horniness. Those are the two other emotions.
So tell me about it, because Nick, he threw to you in the middle of the ad, and you weren't there. So that's what drew our attention that you were gone. But then I saw you come back and wrap a blanket around your waist.
Like an old man.
What's going on?
So here's the thing. I turned the heat on, and I'm very, very cold. And my wife was like, if you're so cold, why don't you do two things? One, take a blanket in there with you. And two, stop drinking ice cold Coke Zero. And I just refused to do that, Andy. Mm-hmm. I refused to do it. I literally got another one here with me. So we're going to crack that off for the back nine of this.
You're not going to weigh him down, Andy. He's going to do what he wants. All right.
Okay. All right.
I got to get caffeinated up for our stream tomorrow, Andy.
Caff it up.
As the CEO of Common Sense, Andy, you can get out of here. Nobody wants your opinion on this.
I was going to say, though, Tim, that I want to be more surprised. And as soon as you ask a question like that, I know here it comes.
This time it got me. This time it got me.
I feel like out of all this group, this guy's got the big brain right here. And I'm pointing at my brain.
Also, Tim, I would like to add that hair does not cause the smell, just so you know.
It keeps the smell.
Locks in the smell. Yeah.
It doesn't. No, it doesn't.
It locked in the smell.
It doesn't.
It does. You get the smell. 100%
does. This is the first time science with Kev's been wrong.
It's like bacteria. It's the alcohol and deodorant that
it gets on the hair. It stays there. It lives there. It takes up residence. Can't kick it out.
I think he said, "Do you ever get gum in your hair?" And then went.
Only when I spit on myself. Andy, I appreciate because I heard you. See where I was going with it. You saw it coming. I get it. But it's hard because it's more of a team effort than you'd expect. You know what I mean? Like, you don't see people out there judging just Michael Jordan, right, for what he's doing. Like, sure, they give him credit for things.
Yeah, but
it's just like they have to give the whole team credit too.
But I think you're playing.
No, there's not. I'm just saying. It's just like you guys need to pass me the ball sometimes. All right. All right. Help me get that 10.
No,
I'll pass the ball.
Here's the thing is you're the point guard. All right. You need to be the floor manager out there. You need to be calling the things. You know what I mean? That's what it's got to be. You got Kevin down there in the paint. You need to move him around.
Move him around.
I don't know what the paint is.
I'm just saying, Eddie, like, I have to ask the questions. I have to telegraph it because otherwise it ain't happening.
We'll talk
again. I'm pretty sure you're the guy. Like, this is more like a golf range situation. We're just playing golf around you, and every once in a while you're like, hole in one! And it's like, you know,
I think all of our sports metaphors have been abysmal.
You ever played golf?
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, hole in one.
Hole in one! Continue the story, yeah. Continue the plot. Kevin,
all right, so crime's eradicated. They're not working well. Batman goes back home, and he's moping around about it. And, you know, Alfred's like, oh, let people in kind of shit. And he's like, also, spend time with your son. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he's like, you adopted a kid last night, this thing. He's been running around, and he's great. And there's the footage of Dick Grayson running around the cave saying hello to everything, including the secret camera, which is very cute. But eventually, he's like, you know, Batman's like, no, there's no way I'm going to fucking do that. And he's like, okay, oops. And he hits the button to open up the Batcave poles. And then, you know, Dick Grayson slides on down that pole. And he comes on in. And he's like, wait a second. You're telling me Bruce Wayne is, or Batman is Bruce Wayne's roommate? he's like, no, Bruce Wayne lives in, you know, my attic, not me in the basement. And so there's this idea there. You know, he then sets up this idea of that, you know, they're going to be co-parented. They'll both be his dad or whatever. This is spurred by the fact that Batman sees him as a tool because he has this idea that he's going to send Joker to the Phantom Zone just to get rid of him. That way, that, you know, everybody understand that Barbara's plan doesn't work. And so he needs to go to the Fortress of Solitude, Superman's Arctic hideout, to get the Phantom Zone projector to put Joker in there. However, when they start running the numbers and things, of course, a human man couldn't fit in there. Only a human boy could, at which point he's like, ah, I can use Dick Grayson for this. So Dick, of course, super excited to do it. This is when they introduce the two dads thing so that he can get permission from Batman, his other dad, to do it. This is when they go through the costumes to find him something. They go to Reggae Man or whatever and find the he puts it on and has the Robin costume. It's very cute. Tears off his pants. Very cute. then it's like, okay, let's go to the Fortress of Solitude. So they hop in the bat plane. They shoot over there. Yep.
Oh, I was going to say, I love this moment because it's just a touch of the Superman soundtrack.
Sure. Oh, yeah. They use the Arctic sound when they land. Yeah, it's great. And it's the Fortress of Solitude from it.
Yeah, it's so good.
Dick, of course, sneaks in through a vent above the door. Batman rings the doorbell, which is the Superman theme. Superman opens it up and he's like, oh, hey, what are you doing here? Batman comes in. Turns out there's a Justice League party happening. Yeah, there's a Justice League party there for it's the annual Justice League party.
It's like a party.
They didn't invite Batman. You know, there's a whole thing about emails getting lost and people just start boogieing down or whatever. Nobody gives a flying fuck about Batman being there. Meanwhile, Dick Grayson is, you know, infiltrating to get the Phantom Zone projector. He follows Batman's instructions to the letter. He gets in there and he's like, I already got it. All right, do everything I just told you in reverse. He gets out. Batman's like, I'll make up an excuse to leave. I'm going to go. And he just goes and nobody cares. So they have the Phantom Zone projector now. They're going to take it over to Arkham because they're going to, you know, get rid of the Joker or whatever. They go there, get in trouble with the guard. Yeah, they come in. It's very reminiscent of the Arkham Asylum opening, the video game, of them going through the detector and all that jazz as they come in. But they, you know, come into Arkham. Batman's got a whole bunch of different weapons on him that he puts down on the table. While that's happening, Robin tries to sneak in, but they notice the Phantom Zone projector. They all start fighting. Batman tells Robin that these are his friends who are like, you know, they're down to spar, basically. So go ahead and fight them. They all fight them off. They make their way into Arkham. They make their way over to Joker's cell. Everything's getting closed, but Batman throws a batarang to keep it open. Joker's like, oh, seems like I am a big deal that you brought me here, that, you know, you're ready to, you know, do all this stuff to put me away or to send me the Phantom Zone. I guess I'm your greatest enemy. Batman's like, you're not my greatest enemy. He zaps Joker away. Joker goes to the Phantom Zone, where Kimmy Schmidt is the robot welcoming to the Phantom Zone. She's like, you know, explaining what's going on here. All the other bad guys show up. We got the Gremlins, we got Voldemort, we got King Kong, we got the sea monster. They all show up, they're gonna eat him. He's like, wait, I got a way to get us out of here. And before he can even really lay out the plan, Voldemort's like, we're in. You're like, let me guess, you're going after the hero that you don't like or whatever, like that doesn't respect you. We're in, we'll come do this with you. And he's like, great, that's awesome. Meanwhile, back at Gotham, they'd put Batman and Robin into Arkham Asylum, lock them down because, of course, like, you're bad guys. You're doing bad things here. You just broke them out. You broke all the rules. You broke all the laws. You're not listening to us. You get to stay here or whatever. Batman and Robin beatbox a little bit. They're in there. I'm sure they say something else, too. But that's the main thing of what they're doing. They're in there doing just time, just doing hard time.
Nick, the beatboxing stuff.
It's great.
it's the most great. Nick and Matt Scarpino humor.
It's great because you could tell they spent as little time as possible developing it with Will Arnett. Basically, they were just like, "Will, just go ahead and go," and he was like, "Okay, cool." It's so great.
I don't know where it is. At some point, there's like a brief rap song that plays. I don't remember if it was someone's ringtone or it was somewhere around the scene. Anyway, it's a little dicky.
Oh, was it?
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool.
So they're locked up for all like 2 minutes, and then Joker comes back with all the bad guys, and they're pouring out of the ceiling. You got Sauron there, and you got all the other bad guys, flying monkeys. You got the Wicked Witch. They're introducing everybody. I like, again, like I said earlier, shout out to the joke line about the Doctor Who robots. Just like British robots. Talk to your nerd friends. Yeah. Barbara shows up. She's like, "You were right, Batman. We do need you. The city needs you." She lets them out, but only on the condition that they work together. So Barbara, Batman, Robin, and Alfred all team up to try to stop this.
All I'm saying is, like, Ray Fiennes voiced Alfred, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. I was available. I could do my Michael Caine impersonation. Clearly,
this is a different interpretation. They didn't lean in. This isn't really the Michael Caine version of it, you know?
But Bane is pretty much...
Yes, brother.
What's his face? Yeah.
I feel like that's Bane in everything. In every version of Bane since then. It's been that.
Since The Dark Knight Rises, yeah.
And it's been like that, but like everyone picks on him is the joke. And I fucking dig it.
Because that line is such a bad voice.
Yeah, I think like just it's such an easy way to get laughs. There's such easy laughs and such easy jokes, just like Tim said, like the low-hanging fruit stuff. But just telling Bane to say like say whatever in the Bane voice, I think it just works so perfectly in this movie to sort of humanize him and ground him and make him have just normal human being lines. I think it's like it's so easy to make, but it works so well every time. Yeah. I love it.
And there's also just the meta commentary on the fact that everyone's been making fun of that voice for so long in real life that he's just sort of beat down by it. And now it's just has a complex about it in the movie.
So the funny thing there is it's Doug Benson, the comedian, who he had a long running thing where he would do Bane impressions and Bane jokes. Oh. And the directors like reached out to him particularly to like have him voice Bane in this because of that.
That's awesome. That's
so it's like one day, Andy, maybe you will be Michael Caine.
Wow.
Okay. I felt you better wait.
You have to cry when you do it because you're smiling.
There
it is. You're crushing it.
He was good at it though, right? Like, just to be clear.
Well, I mean, I'm almost like I'm getting there. Like,
oh no, well, Andy's 90% of the way
right here.
I feel like you could take one of Sir Michael Caine's Academy Awards away and just give it to Andy right now. Just have that as a placeholder.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Great opinions.
That sounds about right. Does he have a lot of Academy Awards?
I don't know. I went out on a limb on that.
Yeah,
one.
I was going to look for it too.
I was really hoping we just move on and no one would ever ask.
He's won two.
Best Supporting Actor for The Cider House Rules and Best Supporting Actor for Hannah and Her Sisters. He was nominated for 4 others.
Nick is two gods. It's crazy.
You gotta just take chances, Andy. Come on, we're making just content.
Throw shit out swing the bat, content. Andy. Swing the bat
without any basis.
Hole in one.
So all 4 of them are out there. They're working together to stop all these monsters that are going on. Joker took over Wayne Manor at some point too. I left that out, I think. And Batman goes. They still know he's Bruce Wayne. Though. I forgot what the explanation was for them. They go over there. They fight a bunch of people. They fight a bunch of people all over the place. And they're just fighting people left and right. They're flying around fighting people. Voldemort's doing stuff. People are fighting. A lot of fights. I think is where they're going on the Batwing ride, and this is like, you know, why'd you only put 1 seat in this? Only got 1 butt. And then, which is, I did not like that joke at all.
You build it right then.
It's so fucking funny. What are you talking about? How can you not like that?
But I think this is a good scene because she was like, Barbara's like, I can fly the plane. He's like, nope, rope's got it. And he puts the rope on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
good job.
However, of course, rope doesn't have it. They're on top of the thing fighting Alfred. Alfred and Robin are about to fall. Batman saves Robin, then Alfred falls, and it looks like he's going to die, but Barbara takes over the bat plane and flies on down there, grabbing Alfred at the last possible second, saving him. They all land. They're all excited to have beaten a whole bunch of the bad guys and done all this different stuff, at which point Robin takes a selfie with all of them, and then Batman smiles. He's having fun. He's actually enjoying being part of a team. Then he looks at the photo and realizes, of course, that this is, you know, the same photo he has on the wall of his dead parents. So right there he cuts it all off, gets the scuttler or whatever it is to eat all them, put them inside, take them to a safe place. He's gonna go finish this on his own. They're like, you can't do this on your own, you're stupid. He's like, but he, that thing goes off, he goes off to do his own thing. He, you know, runs into the Joker and all the bad guys there. They eventually get the upper hand on him. They send him to the Phantom Zone. He lands in the Phantom Zone. Kimmy Schmidt shows up to scan him to see all his bad stuff. And this is, you know, fun because she scans him and she's like, you're not a traditional bad guy, but you do, you do bad things. You dress in black and the voice, you're a bad guy. It's like, no, I'm not. They scan through all the things, and it's mainly him being mean to his friends, right? Not listening to them, wanting to put Dick Grayson in trouble, being mean to Alfred. And he's like, what would you know about raising a surrogate son? And he's like, oh, fuck, man, I am bad. You know what I mean? And then he looks around there, and he's like, listen, if you can send me back, I can get all the criminals back in here. I can get all the bad guys back in the Phantom Zone so you don't get in trouble with your boss by midnight or whatever it is. And he's like, and she's like, even you. He's like, even me or whatever. It's like, I'll get everybody back. You have my word. So she sends him back. He saves Barbara at some point or whatever. She's not thrilled to see him. That, you know, they just got screwed over by him. But then he admits that, yes, he does need them. He does, you know, he's afraid. You know, he had said earlier, of course, Batman isn't afraid. He says he is afraid, of course, of, you know, having a family and losing them kind of again. And it's this heartwarming moment where they then go out as a unified team to kick the shit out of all these guys. Also, you know, Joker has an army. What are we going to have? They let all the rogues gallery out of Arkham to work with them because, of course, if there's nothing, then there's nothing for them either. And Joker said me. I think it's Bane maybe who even says Joker said mean things about us. Like, one of the guys is just like, Joker was mean to us, so we're gonna fight too.
And that's exactly one of those. That's exactly one of those lines. Like, just have Bane, you know, say anything normal, and it's like it's made so to be funny because it's Bane.
But it's also like he's this huge guy that's constantly being like everyone's just mean to him.
Yeah.
So anytime he's like complaining, like, well, I was just giving my idea.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
When they were leaving Arkham, they have the idea of, or the, like, everyone's like, wait, let us out. We can help you. And Batman has that one line where he's like, what, a movie about a bunch of bad guys being like getting together to do some good? What a stupid idea.
Yeah.
that's a subtle dig on Suicide Squad, right?
I really like
the different the bat symbols in the sky.
Yeah, that's cute.
That might be later. It might be around here. I don't remember.
No, it's right here. Like, it's when they unify again.
I enjoyed that. It's like, that. Like, to me, like, that's the level of what this movie is. And it's just like, it's the good chuckle.
And I like, you know, this is where we get the introduction of the Batgirl suit and Nightwing for Robin and all that jazz. They put on all their different suits. Or maybe that was earlier, actually, for Robin and Alfred putting on the 66 suit. Doesn't matter. They all go off and they all go to fight everybody and stop it. But guess what? They can't stop it. The explosion goes off. It fractures Gotham. It all starts tearing apart. Batman gets the idea of, if we all work together and take off and expose our Lego heads and put it together, we can basically be like a giant rope, like a stitch across the way. So all the heroes do that and start going, but it's not far enough. So, but on the other side of the chasm is the Joker, and Batman finally, you know, opens up to the Joker that, yes, you know, he hates him and needs him or whatever. And like, this is, you know, they are going to do this forever kind of thing. And so Joker, of course, does the Jerry Maguire thing of, you had me at shut up. And all the villains on his side go together. They connect. Batman projects his voice to all of Gotham. All of them go and connect, and they are able to fix the fracture in Gotham to reunite the two halves and make it happen.
Which I think is awesome. This is like an example to me of this being Lego enough, of like actually using the Lego property to how it should be used, where all of us that have played with Legos have done that with the Lego characters, of putting each minifig on top of each other. The plot point here.
The very sort of Family Guy comedic beat of just one frame of...
Yeah, I love it. I
love stupid shit like that. I think it worked really well.
Well done.
So yeah, they're celebrating. Everybody's gone back to the Phantom Zone. They were doing that as they went. Sorry, when they were fighting everybody. We got a moment here where Batman takes off his cowl, reveals that he is Bruce Wayne to Robin. That's very sweet. You know, two dads or whatever. And then he's like, I got to go now, though. I got to go back to the Phantom Zone. You know, I gave my word or whatever. So... you know, he says his goodbyes to everybody. He levitates up there to where it should be, but then he bonks it and falls back down. And Kimmy Schmidt shows up to be like, listen, like, you did, you know, you've gone above and beyond to show you're a good guy here. You've learned something, you know, everything's great. And then we get a cool
everything
montage.
Everything is awesome.
Yeah, exactly. We get a cool montage of the Bat family now racing back home. Everybody saying Iron Man sucks. Everybody having Lobster Thermidor. Everybody watching Jerry Maguire. Everybody having a great time. And then the credit montage of them all dancing around and singing together in the white outfits.
And the stupid line of the, you know, the at the beginning we get the reference, the sort of breaking of the fourth wall, like dark ominous music that, you know, scares executives and producers or whatever. And at the end we get like the poppy song. He's like, I play the poppies or play the poppy song that executives and producers love, you know. Like I just love that stupid shit. It's like, oh, the families will love this. This is very a safe call to have a little poppy song at the end. And it's a song, is this the Lil Dicky song or Lil Dicky's was at the beginning?
Lil Dicky just had like a quick like 10-second thing.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember at what point. It was in the cells. It was around the jail cell stuff. But this was Will Arnett rapping.
Oh, God. Okay.
Clearly.
That's right.
There you go. That's it. The Lego Batman movie. We didn't go for it.
Give me five for the first and last line. If you're not poetic, no need to fret it. Haikus don't need to rhyme. Haiku in review.
Blackjack writes into patreon.com/kindafunny to write his review in haiku form just like you can. And he says, Batman with no crime. Ensuing humor. Sublime. It's Bat Family time.
Oh, that's a good one.
Tensa Zangatsu, man. Best Batman movie. Has the best Batman on screen. And on screen Robin. Andrew Feisner says, Darkness. Have no friends. See the value in others. Duo. Not alone. That one seems really deep.
It does seem deep.
Like, that seems like a real ass haiku.
Yeah.
Grant Burton says, Batman is a toy and Robin is just a boy. This film brings me joy.
Hey, that's cute.
And Zaid Wilson says, Jason is like 5 and there's already Joker. So who's the Red Hood? We'll have to stay tuned for the Lego Batman movie 2 that got announced, but then it's probably never actually going to happen because the rights of Lego switched to Universal
someone else.
Wait, really?
Yeah. So, yeah. So we'll see how that goes.
What the hell? That stinks, dude.
I was going to say earlier that I before you started doing the haiku interview thing, we didn't do Secret Delights.
Secret Delights.
Batman returns to the Dark Knight. It's Gotham's finest secret D-line.
I just think it's the villains from the other movie showing up. I didn't expect that.
It was a secret delight for me.
To
me, the secret delight is Michael Cera in this. He just brings a smile to my face every time he does anything. And I know that's a thin line for a lot of people. But when he rips off, when he walks out and he still has the pants on, he's like, well, I guess you're still wearing. And he goes, nope. And he rips them off. Like, that is so funny. God,
I don't know, man. It's hard to say. I was delighted by a lot of this movie. And I don't know why. I needed this movie last night. I needed this sort of pick me up. And it was just a good, I was chuckling for an hour and a half. And like Tim said, it did sort of end quicker than I thought it would. I know Greg was kind of like, oh, the movie felt like it dragged on. But for me, I'd say the secret delight was the runtime where I had that moment just like Greg did, but felt the opposite where I paused it. I was like, oh, there's 15 minutes left. Oh, shit. And I will say the runtime was my secret delight.
There you go. So now it's time to rank the theatrically released Batman movies. Kev, do you have the image prepped? Thank you very much. Number 1, The Dark Knight. Number 2, Batman Begins. Number 3, The Dark Knight Rises. Number 4, Batman 89. Number 5, Mask of the Phantasm. Number 6, Batman Returns. Number 7, Batman Forever. Number 8, Batman and Robin. Number 9, Batman 66. And number 12, Catwoman.
Can I start it off, Nick? I'm gonna throw this out there, just a starting bid for everyone. Right above Mask of the Phantasm.
I'd put it below Mask of the Phantasm.
I go above Dark Knight Rises.
Wow.
I want to side with Nick here. It's so tough to say because obviously 89 is trying to do more as a Batman movie, right? 89 is trying to be a Batman movie and try to have more substance, while still kind of pulling off the cheesiness of a lot of the other Batman movies that we've seen. I cannot put it over Dark Knight Rises, though. Oh, man, I'm stuck here.
Wait, over the Mask of Phantasm? I thought that was such a, like, cool.
No, Mask of Phantasm, I think when we reviewed it, I think me and Greg felt similarly about Mask of Phantasm, where we remember it being a much better movie than when we actually saw it. Like, it was always this movie that I thought growing up as a kid that was like the gold standard for Batman animated stuff. And upon rewatching it, just thought, just kind of underwhelming.
So now let's do the vote. Let's start at number 6. Who thinks it's better than Batman Returns? Raise your hand. Oh, wait, Greg thinks it's even lower than that. Hold on.
Greg's so stonewalling.
Greg, where would you put it?
I would put it at number 9, below Batman and Robin, above Batman 66.
Wow. You'd Batman 66 Batman and Robin again.
Yes, Batman 66 and Lego Batman were both the only ones where I was like, oh, fuck, right. Is this going to go? Can we keep going? Can we get out of this? Is this going to end? I'd like to get back to playing games. Batman and Robin is what you guys argued with when you actually wanted to put it higher, I think, on the list of just like, it's entertaining. It's not good. There's a lot of colors. There's a lot of crazy action. A lot of what the fuck is going on. Like, I was more engaged for Batman and Robin than I was Lego Batman for sure.
Who thinks it's better than Batman and Robin? Raise your hand. All of us except Greg. Who thinks it's better than Batman Forever? Raise your hand. All of us except Greg. Who thinks it's better than Batman Returns? All of us except Greg. Who thinks it's better than Mask of the Phantasm? Me, Andy, and Nick. Who thinks it's better than Batman 89? Just me and Andy. That means that it falls at number 6, right in between Mask of the Phantasm
number 5.
Batman Returns.
You did that wrong. Five. It's wait, between 89 and Mask of the Phantasm.
Yep, sorry, I wrote it down in the right place.
It's okay.
Okay, mijo.
So number 1, Dark Knight. Number 2, Batman Begins. Number 3, The Dark Knight Rises. Number 4, Batman 89. Number 5, Lego Batman. Number 6, Batman Mask of the Phantasm. Number 7, Batman Returns. Number 8, Batman Forever. Number 9, Batman and Robin. Number 10, Batman 66. And number 12, Catwoman. Next week.
Andy hit the song. Is there not a Ragu Bagu? Is there not? I thought we still did Ragu Bagu on this show, but apparently Earth's been salted over for every podcast within a podcast.
We didn't do it. We didn't do it last week either.
That was an accident.
Yeah, that was
right. Last week. Last week was on me. Remember, I had to get out of here for some
Ragu.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Rad Guys Talk Bad Guys.
I have one job on this show. Do not try to do my job, okay?
Everything's off the rails, Nick. You don't even know what's happening. This is Rad Guys Talk Bad Guys, the podcast within the podcast where we rank the villains of the Batman cinematic universe. I'm one of your hosts, Greg. That's Andy. That's Nick. That's Kevin. That's Tim Geddes. So we have a 2 for today. We need to rank Bane. And I guess Catwoman, or if you want to put her in there, however you want to do that.
No, she wasn't a bad guy.
Yeah, what do you? So who is so Dark Knight Rises? We need to rank Bane,
Bane and
we need
to Talia.
Okay, and then we need to do Joker from Lego Batman, right?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Joker and we're agreeing he's them.
And all the other villains.
Right now, the Ragu Bagu list looks like this. Number 1 is Dark Knight, Joker, and Two-Face. Number 2 is 89 Batman, Joker. Number 3 is Roz and Scarecrow from Begins. Number 4 is Phantasm. Mask of the Phantasm, Joker, and the Phantasm. Number 5 is Batman Returns, Max, Penguin, and Cat. Number 6 is Batman and Robin. Number 7 is Batman Forever, Riddler, Two-Face. Number 8 is 66, Catwoman, Riddler, Joker, Penguin. Let's start with Dark Knight Rises. Where do you want to put Bane?
What was number 4 again?
Phantasm.
Above 4 is where I would put it.
Yeah, okay.
I agree.
I agree with that too.
Excellent.
I like it.
Fantastic.
Like
it.
Yeah, easy. Too. Okay.
Concurrent.
Okay, good.
Yeah, good.
That's easy. All right. So there you go. Number 4 making an appearance. Bane, which is autocorrect to Babe. So now we'll be Babe when I read it.
Love it.
From Rises. Where do we want to put Joker from Lego movie?
Computer decide. See, I don't think he's that great of an antagonist in this.
No,
He works as sort of a sounding board for Batman, so he can go pretty low. And actually, this was one of the only disappointments I had with this was, shout out to the whole voice cast, but the guy that played Joker was Zach Galifianakis, and I think he just played it straight the entire time. Like, there's never really with the exception of the intro scene and like a little bit of pepper in there, but he kind of just is even keel Zach Galifianakis. And at one point, I was expecting him to go a little bit more like Lone Wolf Hangover, but he never really did.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, Nick. I was pretty underwhelmed and like usually enjoying much of what Zach Galifianakis does. It just didn't really feel like Joker. He looked like Joker, but it didn't.
Yeah,
there wasn't much else there aside from the whole I am your number one villain. What are you talking about? Like, he leaned into that side of Joker and sort of that sort of fan service side of it. But he never really got zany or anything like that.
I agree. Joker was my least favorite part of this movie. So
wait, what's the
I enjoyed all the other villains, though. Like, I enjoyed that it wasn't just Joker. Like, it was just as much about, like, all the Batman villains and all the other movie villains and stuff.
Yeah, but I feel like all the Batman villains, we only really saw Bane. Or, like, Bane was the only one that had memorable moments. And then for the other guys,
I don't know, like, because this is a comedy movie. And I think that they played, like, everyone filled their role of having a funny joke, having a funny, like, punchline.
Yeah, like, none of the Penguin's jokes were good, you know? Because there were a couple Penguins joke, but I remember just being like, all right, the Penguin sucks.
Just real quick, I want to put out the one where Batman keeps up putting where the penguins are putting poison ivy to kiss them. I laugh every time. It was just like one prayer. It's so stupid.
So, Greg, can you tell me where who's number five right now?
Number five is Phantasm. Number six is Batman Returns. Number seven is Batman and Robin. Number eight is Batman Forever. Number nine is 66.
I think it's above Batman Returns.
I would put it below Batman Forever.
Yeah, that's where I would go too.
Me too.
I'd go below Returns, but
that sounds right.
There you go. Sounds like below Forever.
All right, there you go. Right. Number nine then is where Lego Batman's Joker goes.
How about that?
Next week we are closing out reviewing the movies of Batman theatrically released movies with the Joker. Then after that we will be doing a Batman in Review episode where we go through our own personal lists and also all of the different podcasts within a podcast to make some definitive statements. To get it out there for all the people
and, and maybe I'll have a Gonzo for Gordo shirt done by that time.
Whoa!
You never know.
No although I kind of want to save it for like our big January thing that
it's
we usually do.
It's not going to do well.
I mean, I think it. I think enough people.
Dude, if
will
you
buy
want to
it
make it the mailer for next month.
Okay.
And this week, everybody get hyped. Thursday, we are reviewing.
Wait, this Thursday?
The New Mutants.
Oh yeah.
The
I'm actually really excited. About this.
I'm scared. It's a scary movie.
It's happening.
Andy, you're gonna have to go to Coachella again or whatever and not watch it like you did all throughout The Conjuring.
If you guys let me know in the comments, please go to the YouTube comments if you would buy a Gonzo for Gordo shirt. Put
Dude,
in the comments. I will buy a
free,
Gonzo for
It's
Gordo
free
shirt.
To put a comment down saying that they would buy it. Just to let
is
you
it
know.
Just, Andy, in your brain, is it just Gonzo from the Muppets with the Gordon mustache?
Yeah, we talked about
it. I don't think
yeah,
we
gonna,
can legally gonna, do that.
I'm, yeah, we I mean, well, not okay. through Rooster Teeth.
If we put it behind if we put it behind Patreon, we can break any law we want.
with that, until next time.
Say bad time, say bad channel.